What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, April 19th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Reverend Jared Petty.
Doki doki, and good to see you, Greg.
Good to see you, Jared Petty. Let's talk about it. Let's get the elephant in the room out of the way.
What's the elephant?
You're wearing a smaller shirt.
I am wearing a smaller shirt. It's
Jared Petty losing the weight.
Doing a little humble brag on the kind of funny subreddit.
Yeah, saw you in there. Thank you.
But I have dropped a lot of weight, and I'm like, well, I can fit in the new shirts now. Honestly, I was kind of scared this morning. I was worried this morning.
It looks great.
A little too
even
medium.
Because you came in, you asked everybody. Everybody, literally everybody.
Yeah.
Is this okay? Can I get it? We were all like, yes, you didn't listen. And then Tim came in late and was talking, and then he just stops me the conversation. By the way, you look great.
Yeah,
what size shirt are we down to now?
Oh, so this is a 2X, but I don't think I fit into all 2Xs yet. I was actually wearing like a 4X regularly. But this is a 2X, and I've wanted to wear this for a long time. This is a shirt that my friend Thomas Darnell, shout out. He's a friend of mine over from EA, and he has somebody in his family lives in a little town in Alaska where one of the Blockbusters is still open.
One of the final Blockbusters.
Yeah, there's a few Blockbuster videos, and they sell these shirts there.
That's awesome.
So he had this mailed down for me.
That's right.
From his family member, and I've wanted to wear it. Now I get to. And it kind of fits. So I'm pretty excited.
It totally fits. Shush your face, Jared.
So losing that weight, got that ketosis life, man.
Yeah.
And the exercise.
Eating
helps.
Them ball of hams.
Eating that ball of ham. But, you know, it's not about eating the ball of ham. It's about regulating. I ate that giant thing, like, for days.
It was like a jawbreaker when you were a kid.
Yeah, I just like ate like a big apple. I can't eat an apple, so I get that nice like big apple.
Can't eat
an
apple on keto. Is the sugar in it?
Not on the form of ketosis I'm on, at least. It's too much sugar.
I see.
Pretty much any carbohydrate beyond a very limited count of certain types is just off limits for a very long time for me.
Sure.
Eventually, I will reintegrate those into my diet.
Yeah.
But at the stage that I'm in, because I'm so corpulent, you've just got to discipline yourself. And
how small are we looking to get?
Well, I mean, I'm still about probably 70 pounds over where I want to be.
Okay.
So I have a very long journey ahead. It'll take more than a year to lose the weight from this point forward still. But I'm moving in the right direction, and I think I can keep it off. I lose weight when I behave. My problem is when I stress or when I'm depressed, I tend to abuse my body and overeat.
Sure.
And that's really it. So you're looking pretty good yourself, my friend.
Thank you. Rode the bike into work today.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah, I saw you had the bike shirt. You had like bike tights on.
Oh, yeah.
Today.
Why, if I don't have the tights, as I showed on the Kinda Funny Morning Show, you see way too much upper thigh.
Yeah,
I feel self-conscious about that.
I don't know. I kind of like the upper thigh.
I'm sure a lot of people do, but I'm sure there's an equal number of parents just trying to get their children to school who don't need to see that.
Is it like that Armie Hammer thing from that movie? Where what's the Oscar-nominated movie he was in this year? I forget the name.
Wild Wild West. No, he wasn't in Wild Wild West.
No, it wasn't Wild
he
Wild West.
He was in the Lone Ranger.
Not the Lone Ranger. The one where they're wandering around Italy, being everything being
Call
beautiful.
Call me by my name.
Yeah,
but I was trying to make a reference to his terrible movies.
Apparently they had to I've heard they had to Photoshop his testicles out of some shots because his shorts were so short. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
if you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Write in questions, comments, concerns, everything else under the video game sun to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. It's just a Google form. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Be part of the show. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe, now including Spotify. No matter where you get the show, please head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a couple bucks. Say we're doing a good job. Housekeeping for you. Congratulations. The Kind of Funny tourney is down to the final two. The championship starts tomorrow on Friday. Barbara Dunkelman, Elise Willems. You have advanced to the championship. One of you will be the championship.
Who's your money on?
I don't know. Now it's anybody's game.
Yeah.
Okay. I would, if I'm a betting man and I had to, I guess Elise. Elise seems to have a lot of juice behind her. The internet really loves her.
She's got a lot of momentum there.
And Barb just came out of this knockdown, drag out fight with DiGiorno.
Yeah.
73,000 votes cast.
Did you see DiGiorno's graceful bow out there?
Oh,
at the
of course.
End?
Yeah, they're fantastic. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it. I'm going to have the championship run throughout the weekend
okay.
so that it ends and then the morning show on Monday can be us crowning the champion.
Beautiful.
But I think there's no doubt in anybody's mind that DiGiorno's the MVP of this tournament.
Are you guys going to make like a beautiful like retrospective 30 for 30 out of the whole
of
tournament?
Of course not. We don't have that much time. Okay. I believe a month and a half ago, Nick was supposed to go buy a shitty trophy from a soccer shop and never did. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Huh?
Do you want me to go do
I'd
that?
Love you to go do that, Kev. Okay. Thank you very much.
I just love that Kevin just runs out of the room and goes buys it right now. Just leaves the show.
If you're listening or watching in the first 24 hours or whatever, too, remember right now up on twitter.com/kindoffunnyvids where this entire tournament is happening, you can go vote for the worst enemy of Kind of Funny in the Hatred NIT. It's Pepsi versus Chardonnay for who is Kind of Funny's mortal enemy.
Ooh,
so
wow.
Get over there.
I kind of like Chardonnay.
Don't let Joey Noel hear you, and don't let Andrew Renee hear you. All right,
yeah,
like don't you when you come over this Saturday, you keep that to yourself. Party modes are up too, brand new ones, of course. Rainbow Six over on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Meanwhile, on Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for just a buck, you can get the Fortnite one. It'll be up later, but it's a good one. So head over and give us a dollar. Meanwhile, this episode's brought to you by Hims, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's. Oh hey,
wow,
that does lots of honking out there. What is there in the road? You think, Kevin? Why?
It was the Muni, but it didn't seem like there was anyone there.
Okay, okay.
I'd love if it were like a tank. Yeah, just like like a military tank just going by. It'd be kind of amazing.
Careful what you wish for.
I was in a bar in South Carolina once, and a tank drove by. It was really strange.
Where were they going? Just
There was a hurricane going on, and we had been running from Florida for about 20 hours.
Sure.
And we're stopped in this little bar because it was the first place we could find to open to eat in 20 hours. And the hurricane kept following us up the coast. And just as we're sitting there at the bar and sitting down to finally get a bite to eat, a tank goes by in the street with the National Guard. And there's like a guy screaming through a megaphone for everyone to evacuate, or we're all going to like be destroyed. So it was a fun day. That wasn't really a very good story.
No, it was okay. I got there.
Trying to destroy you.
What's that?
Everybody's out for you. Anywhere you go, there's some kind of disaster.
Absolutely. There's always something chasing you. There's a hurricane. Well, Florida, that's just Florida life. Like,
sure, but like the whole the earthquake in Japan and the radiation stuff.
There's some. Again, I don't hang out with me. It's a bad choice.
You're like Final Destination, but it's real slow.
Yeah, but the thing is,
it's not like trying to get you like in the next week. It's like it's gonna. I got away again. Stay fuck it. Time. We'll see him in 5 years.
I'll eventually kill him.
For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. What's wrong, Big Kevin?
My throat.
I don't know. I haven't talked to you today. You had a sore throat.
I mean, I've had a bad throat for like.
Well, you've been coughing and stuff. Yeah, I haven't heard the throat complaint though.
No, it's like, it's a all kind of.
You taking some lozenges?
No,
I'm just Joey Noel gave us that Pax.
I had some Robitussin.
Yeah.
For the cough.
Yeah.
And that seems to be doing its job.
All right. Well, four items on the Roper Report.
Oh, Baker's dozen!
Thank you for bringing the heat, even though you're not feeling great. Number one, Fortnite breaks $25 million on mobile. This is via gamesindustry.biz. Grossing $25 million in its first 30 days, Fortnite Mobile has become one of the most successful apps on iOS, despite launching as an invite-only test event. Since going public on April 1st, the average worldwide daily spend has exceeded $1 million, according to market intelligence from firm Sensor Tower. Second only to Netflix in terms of U.S. customer spending, Fortnite earned $9.5 million in the first 2 weeks of April. Outstripping Tinder by $1 million and Candy Crush by $4 million, Fortnite also dwarfed Pandora by $700,000, YouTube by $2.3 million, and Hulu by $5.1 million. Fortnite is currently only available on iOS, but if a Google Play version materializes soon, it could prove a colossus success for Epic Games.
I think they meant colossal.
I do too, but I read it as they write it.
Read it as they write it. Makes sense.
Yeah, I want to be there. I want to be accurate. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And I think one of the things we ought to look at right away is all the comparisons here to things like Tinder and Pandora. Yes, they mentioned Candy Crush, but YouTube and Hulu. I was having a conversation the other day with a friend about Red Dead. And one of the points, my friend and I were going back and forth about that huge news, you know, last week where there were billions and billions of dollars spent on Grand Theft Auto
That's like the most successful entertainment franchise or IP ever.
Exactly. And we were talking about, you know, the future of that whole industry. But one of the things we talked about there was that there's a real possibility out there that while we can be kind of myopic in the video game industry, we're like, well, it did better than every other game, or it did. But this art form, this medium that we're here celebrating every day here on Kind of Funny Games Daily has grown up. It just And I think sometimes we have kind of an inferiority complex. We're kind of like the way that San Francisco treats New York. Like, we want to be New York desperately, but we're always going to be San Francisco. That's a very bad... Yeah, no, I'm getting there. New York has or San Francisco has a terrible inferiority complex. Really does.
Slow it down,
absolutely.
Right, buddy?
Oh, complete. Yes.
Here's my thing. I'll get bold on you right now. You know who has an inferiority complex?
Who's that?
New York.
What?
All the New York's great, don't get me wrong. But every New Yorker will tell you how amazing New York is on everything, no matter what it is.
But that's because pizza, New York bagels, is. Whatever. It
but
is
then you
that.
Go there as a normal person and you eat the pizza and your bagels and you're like, oh, this is good. And pizza's it's better great. Than Noah's bagels for sure. I don't hear San Francisco people going around being like, San Francisco's so amazing. We're all like, it's really expensive.
Oh, I do. I hear
it. Well, it is amazing. I love San Francisco.
It's so expensive, but it's so amazing. So, now, anyway, without going off on San Francisco, what I'm trying to get to here is that I do think the video game industry has a kind of an inferiority complex compared to more traditional mediums, like television or movies or things like that. And we sometimes tend to compare within ourselves. And the point that something like this makes with Fortnite is that video games have extended beyond this limited cultural space. And they become part of, what were we pointing?
You said beyond. I wasn't going to interrupt your thought, but I still have the knee-jerk reaction. You're screaming.
You know what? I love it. I was like, oh, am I missing something? Video games have extended beyond that. That's I think, one of the most valuable things we can draw
I appreciate that from this gamesindustry.biz article. Yeah, that they go out and explain, like, yeah, we hear every time we throw around a figure here of how successful any game's doing, it quickly just becomes white noise. Yeah. Okay, that's really successful. All right, yeah, GTA 5, with the thanks to GTA Online, is the most successful IP of all time. Great, and there's charts showing it outplacing all these different things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the fact they come in here and they say, like, by Tinder, which I wouldn't even think about monetizing because I'm an idiot. I don't know that app at all. But, like, Candy Crush, that makes sense. YouTube, okay, YouTube Red and stuff like that. Hulu, Pandora, I understand where money's going on that sense. But, yeah, to get them in there.
Well, video games, we tend to gamify things. You know, video games are built around scores. They're built around qualitative factors. They're built around how well we're doing in a measurable numeric way. And I think we tend to focus a lot on stories like this because they remind us of the games that we play and like, oh, look, we're objectively doing better than this thing, that thing, the other thing. But I do think the larger narrative is that the state of the art has truly advanced to a new place. We talk so much about new steps that God of War is taking and how that's kind of changing the game. The medium is growing up along with us, and that's exciting. And something like Fortnite Mobile is another groundbreaking movement in an art that just continues to kind of bulldoze its way toward that wonderful immersive convergence that we've all hoped for.
Because I'd argue this, right? And I'm with you that, video games constantly we're bigger than movies, we're bigger than this. These headlines you throw out, and it's not because I think there's an inferiority complex of like, we need to be taken seriously. I think it's the thing of like, God, it's hard to explain to somebody who doesn't get video games that video games stopped at the NES when their kid played it and they've never touched it again. When Janina was on talking about Battlefront, she was talking about when she was, you know, going off and doing Hollywood Reporter interviews and having to like, they're like, oh, you're in a video game. That's cute. And she'd have to start bringing in statistics about how big video games are.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel as we get to the convergence point where suddenly no one who's doing it, who's a professional, hasn't been around video games their entire lives. Whether they were a gamer is not what I'm talking about. But the fact of, they went to college and they knew people were playing games next door and they were as good as movies. And now they no longer look down on them as something for kids or something to do in the arcade while you wait for your pizza.
Yeah, I'm going to toot my own horn here, but that's why I did Hot Blip and a Jump.
What's that show?
That's Hot Blip and a Jump.
Where can I watch that?
Well, you can watch that at youtube.com/HotBlipAndAJump. Man. Or you can go to HotBlipJump.com.
And I'm a big fan of content like that. Where could I give you a few bucks?
Oh, if you wanted to give me a few bucks for that, just go to HotBlipJump.com. That takes you right to the Patreon.
And if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong here, it's because you quit your job, right? That's like your full-time gig to make money now.
That's pretty much how I live, It's we're still figuring out if that's going to work or not right now.
Saying you need people to go support you.
It would be helpful, definitely, and also to pop in there and watch those new videos because I got that big boom on the first one, and honestly, I think the second and the third are better, and not nearly as many people have seen them yet. So I think that's worth doing, and the fourth's well on its way now. So, but all that, there was actually a point to that.
Sorry.
No, I appreciate it.
To your own horn.
Don't apologize for trying to get people to buy my product.
For trying to stress the message that you use the Patreon page to live and people need to support you there and watch your stuff. And then we don't pay you, we pay you, but we don't pay you a livable wage because you're not a full-time employee and this is just a contract work?
Exactly. I'm trying to create something unique and exciteful that's not quite like anything else out there, but I think is worth your time in small, bite-sized chunks of qualitative content. Yeah.
Okay.
But I want to talk about the qualitative. We talk so much about the quantitative here, and it is important. We should cover these stories. I think that what I try to do with Hot Blip Jump and what some other people in the industry are trying to do right now is address gaming qualitatively. Mm. Just make the assumption that the medium is well understood by the people around you, know that people
have for the
have
most part, I think
exposure.
It is nowadays. We get better every time. Don't get me wrong. Exactly. You can go to a mainstream outlet and maybe they don't get it and they still like, what's esports? But like, yeah, they also, like, I was blown away to go to Missouri and have my journalism professors telling me about how big esports was, and they had just done this giant national thing at Stevens College, and like people knew what that was. Like,
yeah.
Oh, shit, that's weird.
It's like, whoa, that's rad, though.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Great.
Oh, it's awesome. It's amazing.
I kind of, it's a good time to be alive in the world of games. Yep. It really is.
Yeah.
And that's, maybe we can just start assuming that people understand the touch points, and we can start talking about as critics, or and I understand we're not reviewers here,
we're
really.
Pundits.
We're pundits. Yeah.
International internet personalities.
But I do think that as pundits, talking heads, ship of fools, whatever we are,
yeah.
We can still approach the work critically, even as enthusiasts.
100%.
And criticism doesn't mean hating on it. Criticism means appreciating it. I think that's what people miss. Criticism is about appreciation. And we can start drawing the lessons from these things and teaching from them and learning from them. And that's what I love seeing emphasized. And the fact that Fortnite is reaching more people because of this financial success, and that the financial success in turn allows it to reach more people, and it has that feedback loop. That's great news for all of us across art, and that's beautiful because this is an art form.
What I love about it, right, and this is me not leaning into anybody's biases or the horrible things you hear people say, right? But so many people in our neck of the woods watching this show, doing all this stuff, right, would look down their nose at Candy Crush. And maybe they play it, but they think of it as a time waster and yada, yada, yada. And so, like, when people are like, oh, this is doing that and blah, blah, blah. I appreciate that usually when you hear about a game doing incredibly well on iOS, a Candy Crush or something else, it's a simpler game. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, I love Florence, but Florence isn't out there, like, raking in the dough and making headlines and doing this in terms of iOS mainstream coverage. I love the fact that here we are, Fortnite, for my money, an incredibly quality experience. A game that I, when I play on my phone, I am like, holy shit, how do they get the version that you play on the console over here? And again, I'm not Mr. Fortnite. I'm sure there's a million problems with it if you're playing it like as a professional kind of thing, if you're playing it as a pro player. But I love the fact that here it is, a mobile game that I think we can all agree is really, really good and is a real quote unquote game. Not that I'm throwing that around, but hey, look, it's one of our games. It's one of our passions. It's one of our ilk crossing over to an iOS device and a mobile device and succeeding above and beyond what I think people expected.
And I like your point there a lot. I also think that some of the crap that mobile games get, I play a fair number of mobile games and really enjoy them. I'm hardly an expert, but I love playing them.
Sure.
But mobile games, some of it comes down to the simplicity of the game. But I think more of the criticism has to do with the business model around something like Candy Crush.
That's a great point. Yeah,
where it's like, you know, Fortnite is not about walling the game off. Behind money, Fortnite's like, hey, we present an amazing product, and if you want to spend, here's the opportunity.
Yeah,
and I think that's maybe more where the criticism of 100%. Some of this kind of stuff comes from, as opposed to because again, Florence, extremely simple.
Yeah,
very simple, but absolutely no paywall. This is just a game where I purchase it once, I'm in.
Yeah,
that's that. I'm playing the game, and I think people appreciate knowing what they're getting and not feeling taken advantage of.
Sure. Like Fortnite's Tim with Peggle on the phone, right?
Yeah.
Where he loves that. He says that's the best version, with the exception of the microtransactions where he plays until he's out and then quits, or it crashes, or he does this, and he has all these little workarounds to play a little bit more without giving them money. And he would love to just give them the money. I'll pay you for this version of the game and have that game, but instead it's microtransactions all weird.
Fortnite chooses to create a system where you don't have to worry about waiting to play. They're just like, no, we know you're going to buy the stuff that you want in this game.
And that's the thing too, is right, it gives you the right kind of purchasable items.
Yes.
Where I, you know, when I played it, and I've only played, you know, a handful of hours of Fortnite, but after those first few hours where I was like, shit, this is really good. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I don't want to look like this character. I want to look like that character, and you've earned the money for the skin.
Dota's blazed the trail. Dota's like church. I think Dota and League opened that door for everybody. They were kind of like, you know what? We have fans of this game that realize it's so finely tuned. It's so much fun. We want to start buying the outfits. I know people that have spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars in the course of a year on Dota cosmetics. One, because the cosmetics are pretty dope.
Sure.
And two, because they just want to support the game. It's almost 100%. Like going to church.
Yep.
Or, you know, Patreon.
No. A lot of Patreon.com things you should support. Number two on the Roper Report. The Yakuza devs are working on a new IP. This is via DualShockers. Sega's Yakuza studio is currently at work on Shin Yakuza. But there's more going on among the creators of Kazuma Kiryu. I know Kazuma.
Kazuma Kiryu.
Okay, I would have not said that way. But I did review those games, and I do like Kazuma. According to Sega Sammy, CEO.
Oh, I'm sorry. Haruki Satomi.
As he mentioned during an interview on the Japanese magazine Weekly Famitsu. Satomi? Is that what he said?
Satomi.
Satomi-san was talking about how he wants to challenge new IPs on all platforms. Yeah, okay. I.e. arcade, mobile consoles, and so forth. After mentioning new IPs for the arcade and mobile markets, he teased that in regards to home consoles, a new title by the Yakuza studio is already in development. He did not provide further details, but he mentioned that the fans can look forward to it.
Well, this is good news.
That's
because
great news.
Yakuza games are dope.
I love Yakuza games.
Yep.
I burned out on them was my problem. Reviewed a bunch for IGN.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great time with them, but then found myself struggling to get more and more excited for it.
So
it's like when Yakuza Zero dropped.
Yeah.
I jumped in and started playing it, and I was like, oh, interesting how you're doing the cutscenes this time around, blah, blah, blah. But I made this, it was a very telling mark that got under a lot of people's skin where I was just like, it's more Yakuza. Like, it was like in a Gamescast mm-hmm. rundown where I was like, it's more Yakuza. And kids were like, no, it's not. It's this, that. And I'm like, I love Yakuza, to be clear. Like, this wasn't me insulting Yakuza. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, you know.
No, I mean, sometimes it's more blank is a good thing. Sometimes it's a compliment. And sometimes it's an honest compliment. And I'm really okay with that. With Yakuza, I think it's hard sometimes for people to understand that even working as professionals in the industry, there are times of year you can't play everything. You just can't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have to make some choices if you're going to be contemporaneous with games of what you're going to cover, and you reach the point where, you know, you just had to choose something else for a time.
Yeah.
But Shin Yakuza, exciting to you at all?
The fact that it's more, Yakuza, sure. Yeah. I don't know what they would have to do to Yakuza to make me go, oh, I got to fucking play this.
Well, Shin means new, so
yeah.
New Yakuza.
Well, this is the idea, right, that this is from what reading about it, right, it's supposed to be, the idea is that it's the sequel to Yakuza 0, but before Yakuza 1, so it's like Yakuza 0.5 or whatever.
Yakuza 0.5.
It's fitting right into this space still, where it's still in that prequel range.
But I want to see the studio do something new. Yeah, I mean,
they're talented guys, and I love the games.
Exactly. And you can only create the same version of something over and over and over before creatively you want to reach out and try something new.
Yeah.
They're obviously at that point. And how amazing is it we're sitting here talking about Sega-published games that we're looking forward to? What happened to the world?
Well, I mean, it's the craziest thing of, like, the fact that Yakuza 0 hit. That Yakuza 0 found an audience of new people who hadn't played Yakuza. Because, yeah, I'd been playing Yakuza and reviewing Yakuza. I think my first review was PS3, right? But I was aware of it on PS2. And it was, like, that thing of I was reviewing them and playing them for a very small niche, you know what I mean? And now to see it actually be there, where now there's a whole bunch of people that care, it's like, fucking rad, yeah.
This is why I think it's important to cover smaller games, what we used to call the double A's,
sure.
And also some independent games that go on to become franchises. There's a tendency, you know, obviously we live in a click-based industry.
Of course.
That rewards immediate trends. But sometimes it's really important to stay contemporaneous with very good things that are not succeeding as well as they should, like Monster Hunter or Yakuza or Persona.
Off, right? Yeah.
Or, you know, because someday people finally notice quality. Give it enough time and they're going to find it. And when you're ahead of the game on that, it can pay off for long-term planning. So I think that's a very important thing. A lot of our friends out here are content creators. So we have friends here that have their own YouTube channels, that have their own Twitch channels. Keep supporting that stuff, folks. I understand it doesn't get the immediate clicks, but you're going to be the one ahead of the game.
I'm jumping into reader mail here and grabbing one for you. Dylan wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, in a world with so many talented writers and aspiring journalists, what is the best way to make yourself stand out to get that dream job in games journalism? It's a career that I'm working really hard to pursue, and I could use some advice from my favorite people in gaming. Smiley emoticon.
There we go. Cover what you're passionate about, but don't treat it as niche. What I mean by that is, demonstrate your depth of understanding in the subject, but don't just speak to one small audience. Be a teacher. Introduce new people to the material. Be an evangelist. Bring your joy to others. Don't be like, you should like this and come over here and enjoy it. Present it to people. Don't hide it behind the wall and tell you to come in. Bring it out to them. That's one way to stand out. Greg?
That's been my thing. I don't want to, you know, I know we've talked, this gets talked about a lot in the industry, and I talk about it all the time on different shows and things like that when people interview me. But for sure, what I always say nowadays is specialize.
Mm-hmm.
If you love JRPGs, be the JRPG person. And what you're saying is, yeah, bring that knowledge to people and it'll help you stand out. So many people, you know, I want to work at IGN one day, and you go to their YouTube channel or you go to their podcast and they're trying to cover everything. Mm-hmm. And that is rough because you're never going to be IGN on that scale, right? So you need to have a voice so that when IGN is, like right now, IGN is hiring an associate PlayStation editor.
Yep.
That can be your niche, right? Of like, yeah. I know a lot about PlayStation, and those opportunities come, and that stands out. And you go there, and they need a PC person, they need an Xbox person, they need a JRPG person, they need somebody who understands what's happening in this market, they need a PUBG person.
Absolutely, and there's a lot of truth. Specialization can be very helpful. Being a knowledgeable generalist so you can engage with others in conversations like this is very important, but creating material about something you're passionate around can be very, very powerful. I agree with you, Greg. I was joking with you this morning, I should have named my channel Brand Confusion. When I started on YouTube, because I do, you know, I'm all over the place. I'm not following my own advice. But I have a friend, Jesse Hibbs. He is Strawfoot, is the name. He's been following Monster Hunter since the days of yore.
Yeah.
He's just loved it. He's followed it. He's been in that community. He's played. He started making videos just before Monster Hunter blew up.
Yeah.
Now his YouTube channel is succeeding. It's just exploded.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this wonderful guy. And he gets great material. Oh my gosh. Shout out to Jesse. Strawfoot, great. Go check out his videos. But he did this. He stuck with what he loved.
Yeah.
And he made his videos general purpose. And yeah. What I mean that is he demonstrates to his community, yes, of course, guys, I can speak to this with expertise, but it's always about, hey, person that may not understand what's going on, you're welcome here too. He's
yeah.
really good at that.
Same thing with Gamesplain, right? Andre yeah. Seegers, like he stuck it with the Wii U era. He's like, nope, still a Nintendo site. This is what I do. And yeah. I was like, all right, man, good luck. And now that Switch is here, it's like everybody comes to him as like a definitive Nintendo source.
Yeah, well, I mean, you and Gary were talking yesterday about everybody jumping on the Battle Royale bandwagon.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes you want to jump on a bandwagon if it's your thing. Fine. If
sure.
it's your bandwagon,
yeah, yeah.
enjoy
into it.
It
yeah.
But don't just hop in because everybody else is, because you'll just drown.
Popular. I'm going to try to get clicks on it. I'm going to try to jump in and do it.
Exactly.
It was the same thing. IGN struggled for years while we were there of, fuck, we've missed the Minecraft boat. How can we make Minecraft relevant to our audience? Blah, 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 blah. Mm. And it wasn't until years later when it came to PlayStation where I was like, well, I'm going to play and Brian wants to play with me, but like, we don't know anything. We don't know. And that was what that show was. And
that
it was fine and
popular.
That
series was hilarious.
And it was
I
the same thing
that.
With SimCity, right? Where mm-hmm. when SimCity dropped on PC, the, you know, the one that closed Maxis, yeah, I was all in, so I did like a million videos there that found an audience because it was me being incredibly passionate in the same way I'm passionate about PlayStation, superheroes, and everything else. Be passionate about what you do and do it every day and get better every day. Number 3. Map selection is coming to PUBG on PC. This is via the Steam page where they wrote, map selection is something that players all over the world have continuously asked for. We take your feedback extremely seriously, but we also want to be thoughtful about how we implement changes to PUBG. And we knew that map selection posed a couple of problems we needed to seriously consider. They go through and list the problems, but then they go, then they start getting into the details. You can select the maps you want to play with a click. If you don't want to play a map, simply unselect it. If you've selected more than one map, the game will randomly pick one for you each time you start a match. Work on the feature is almost complete, and we plan to release it soon after implementing it on the test server. As with every feature in PUBG, we'll continue to make improvements to the map selection feature over time. PUBG will never stop evolving as long as you continue giving us feedback, and we promise to always do our best to provide you with a satisfying and special game experience.
No surprises here. PUBG wants players to enjoy the game, and they're providing what they can as fast and as well as they can. Excellent.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Would you like a deal of the day inserted in here?
Drop it in.
Over on the deals of the day section of the show, on MSFT reports, the popular Battle Royale video game PUBG, or PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, PUBG for short, is now fully free to download and play on any of Microsoft's Xbox One consoles as part of a special promotional campaign. Ooh. From today until April 22nd, any Xbox One owner with an Xbox Live Gold subscription can download the full PUBG game from the digital storefront on the Xbox One dashboard and experience it as if they paid for it themselves. After the 22nd, any progress made in the game will save to the cloud, so anyone who chooses to buy it in the future can pick up where they left off this weekend.
It's hard to get a better deal than free.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And nice, and it's them being aggressive, right?
Yeah.
Well, all right, let's get this into more people's hands.
Let's get it out there.
Let's not worry about this Fortnite business and all this.
Yes. Well, they got to. They got to come out swinging.
Of course they do, yeah.
There's room for these two games to coexist in the world. There's enough dollars out there, I think. But PUBG blazed some trails there, and they need to move quickly, and they're doing as well as they
can. Do you think there's a future where PUBG goes free-to-play and tries to ape this, where all right, cosmetics, you can buy this and do that?
No, I don't think that. Not immediately. Maybe in the long term.
No, it's me.
Oh, it's you. Okay. So I'm taking these hand signals today.
Jen went hiking today.
Okay.
And so beforehand, she asked me to put sunscreen on her back, and I was like, yeah, I still smell like sunscreen.
Oh, okay. See, what I got going on here is I've had a bit of a cold. I'm getting over it.
Sure.
I thought you were signaling runny nose that I had snot coming out of my mustache.
You look great. This is the best you've ever looked around me.
Really? Best I've ever looked? I need a haircut. Get a beard trim. What's that? I do. I need a haircut. I got the.
It's getting fuzzy on the sides.
I got the fuzzy sides.
But I'm building this.
It's kind of soft, though. You want to touch it?
Sure.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
That's good.
All right. But yeah, I mean, I don't think they go to free to play anytime soon. I think that their business model is built around a very different thing, and they've got a game to deliver. So, I mean, you know, they're just now moving out of that early access period, so I don't see it immediately. What about you?
What happened is on Kind of Funny Games Daily, it's kindoffunny.com/KFGD, someone wrote in and was like, holy shit, PUBG's going free to play. What do you think about this? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what? And they linked me to Mike Ybarra from Xbox's Twitter account. And I worked back through what they were talking about, found the actual article. And I was like, oh, it's a fraction of time.
Yeah.
But then it was the question of like, but I wouldn't have been shocked if they did that. It would have been surprising because, wow, what a change in course. But with all the success Fortnite's seeing, I'm not on the other side of what Xbox is seeing currently with PUBG and all these different models and what they're going for. It's interesting on how you get people reignited and re-excited for PUBG. You know, not that they're not excited. Not that Kevin doesn't love PUBG. Not that people don't love PUBG. I love PUBG. But the fact that every day Fortnite's got new things dropping and this. And there was news. I didn't put it in the Roper Report or anything. I saw somewhere for Fortnite that they are bringing 50v50 back because that was such a success. Like, Fortnite's in the news every day.
Yeah, it is. And I understand. I just don't know. Shifting, let me put it this way. Shifting your revenue model is not a trivial concern for a developer.
True.
And the question would be, if they did try to compete free-to-play anytime soon with Fortnite, they would effectively have to retool their entire revenue model, which means retooling their production model, because they're going to have to produce all kinds of cosmetics that they're not right now. They're going to have to give you new kinds of rewards, and that means realigning internal teams, hiring new staff, restructuring the entire plan for the game moving forward, abandoning their revenue promises to whoever's involved on that end already. Sure. And I just don't know if you can make that kind of switch quickly and it succeed. I don't think that they can compete with Fortnite in that space. I think they're probably better off accepting that they're going to have a large but less huge than they used to audience, and then take their revenue and go.
Okay. I agree. I'm just checking in because it's one of those I could see that randomly happening. But usually when we see a game go free to play, it's trouble afoot.
I
don't think PUBG is saying there's trouble afoot now.
No, I think it would take them a year to realign and do it properly.
Number four, final item on the Roper Report. Jared Petty added this one.
Uh-oh.
Neo Geo Mini may be on the way. This is via Twinfinite. NK is hard at work on a new piece of hardware that will come packed.
Oh, that's SNK. Sorry.
SNK is hard at work on a new piece of hardware that will come packed with a special collection of Neo Geo titles. As part of the company's 40th anniversary celebration, it looks like SNK could be putting together something like a Neo Geo Mini following Nintendo and Sega's lead. The announcement was made in a tweet from the official SNK account, thanking fans for their support over the years and making everyone aware of the company's plans to come out with something new. I'm like mid-yawn burp. Like, I can't figure out what my body can't figure out what it wants to do.
You can't yawn burp? Let's see. Let's try it.
Just breathe. Just deep breath. Deep breath. Oh, wow. You're doing it on the command. Kevin hates burps. Kevin hates burps.
You don't like the burp?
Yeah. I hate burps. Damn, now he's just torturing.
He has that power.
Here comes the tweet. This year, SNK celebrates its 40th anniversary. It is with gratitude towards the fans who have supported SNK's titles, including The King of Fighters, Fatal Fury, Samurai Showdown, and Metal Slug, that we introduce a new game machine that compiles the popular titles of Neo Geo. Please look forward to it. The future is now!
Yeah, that's a translation from Japanese.
Everyone, they always want us to look forward. Please look forward.
Please look forward, exactly. Oh, yeah. Why would you look behind? Although, in this case, you're looking behind to look forward.
Yeah, let's look forward to the back, yeah.
So SNK, roughly translated, the New Japan Project, has been around for a very long time. They made the Neo Geo before that. Actually, we talked about this not too long ago on Games Daily. They're releasing a collection of their 80s arcade and console games for the exclusively the Switch sometime soon. That's coming out. And now they're like, hey, we're going to make a little maybe Neo Geo Mini or something like that, which we've already had the NES and the SNES Minis, and then there's this little
Mega
Genesis
Drive
thing. Exactly,
in.
And then looks like there's going to be a Neo Geo one. So Neo Geo has a pretty huge library of pick-up and play games. Mm. That's why I'm interested in this. A lot of these have already been released on other platforms as part of...
We have a whole bunch coming to Switch, right? Like, yeah. We always have every Thursday, there's the ACA, Neo Geo, whatever, here comes something.
Arcade Archives. Yep. But what I like, the reason I think this might be a good idea for them is that if they do it right, if the hardware's well put together... These games are all arcadey. They are the perfect kind of game for buying on one thing, sitting down with a friend, playing for half an hour, letting it sit for a few days, getting it out. They're just pick up and play games. Almost everything that ever came out for Neo Geo was that way. High degree of mastery, but very easily accessible. And I think it's a good fit. Also, SNK has a spectacular library of games, a lot of which still look really good run through emulation. So I was kind of excited about this. I like the Neo Geo. It was a neat piece of history. And a lot of these games hold up pretty well.
Do you think Sega and Neo Geo, or SNK, have their expectations realistically set? Is this a race to, holy shit, we can do half the numbers that Nintendo did, which I don't think they can. Or is it just the fact of, oh man, people like these little things. They like, let's get our games that we already have somewhere else and try to do with the investment cost, yada, yada, yada.
I think it's the second the case of SNK. I mean, who knows what Sammy's thinking? They're primarily a pachinko and rights holding company at this point.
Yeah.
But they've already got good emulation relationship out there. Hamster does a lot of work for them. It's really good. And so they're probably like, yeah, we can stick a freaking Android motherboard inside a Neo Geo shaped case, make a decent controller. That'll be the test of the thing, because the Neo Geo controller was freaking awesome. It was a great controller.
Okay.
And the question is, are they going to be able to duplicate that feel at low expense? But if they can do that, then it's going to be a really, really fun boutique product.
Okay.
Yeah, I look forward to it. That was the only arcade machine you could put in your house. I mean, Neo Geo cartridges were the arcade boards. Literally switch outable. And they used to cost like $200 a game. And now they're, $8 a game. But they're, a lot of them are still pretty. Last Blade and Last Blade 2, man. Two of the best fighting games ever. Oh, okay. Windjammers, speaking of jams.
Windjammers, of
course,
you got
the Windjammers going on. You got a lot. You got Metal Slug. You got In the Hunt. Oh, my gosh. So much good stuff.
Well, Jared, I'm excited to see what happens with it.
I'm excited to see what happens with it, too. And I just think it's a... I'm glad this whole trend's going on.
But still, this trend and these things, they're so far away.
They are far away.
If I wanted to know what came to the digital mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
My friend, I'd go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Kevin, give me a throat report while your mic's up. How you feeling? You want to go? Should I get some popsicles?
No, I'm okay. Well, actually, I don't. No, I'm okay.
Yeah? I'll go to Walgreens. I'll get some popsicles. All right,
thanks.
Okay. Here you go then. Remember, it's Thursday, so when I get to the Switch stuff, and I'll stop giving you platforms because I'll come to Switch because they are insistent on drowning that platform in games. The April update for Forza Motorsport 7 arrives today, bringing brand new features, fixes, and improvements based on community feedback and a new collection of vehicles to the game. That's all via Xbox, of course. Psychonauts in the Rhombus of Ruin is now on today, just out of the blue, on HTC Vive and Oculus Rift for $20. Metal Max Xeno is on PlayStation 4 and Vita. And here we go. ACA Neo Geo Real Bout Fatal Fury Special. BAFL Breaks Are for Losers. Football Manager Touch 2018. Manicore Galaxy on Fire. Neo Atlas 1469. Party Trivia. Shelter Generations. Ski Ball. Wild Guns Reloaded.
Stop right there. With Wild Guns Reloaded.
Lay it on me.
That's exciting. All right. Anybody remember Wild Guns?
No.
All right. Wild Guns is a Cabal shooter from the SNES era. You ever play Cabal?
No.
Okay. Cabal shooter is a kind of game where you got a character at the bottom of the screen that's kind of in the foreground, and then the background is most of it, and there's a crosshair. When you move, you both move your character and move the crosshair.
Okay.
And you can move the crosshair up, down, left, and right, and you move the character around. And you're doing two things constantly. You're shooting at things that are coming into the view in front of you, and you're dodging out of the way. So okay. things are shooting okay. at you in the foreground. Cabal was one of the original games that did this, and there's several others. Space Harrier's kind of like this.
That's the Sega one. I've played that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, Zombie Panic in Wonderland is close to this. There's a few others that follow following this line. Every now and then one of these pops up. Sin and Punishment kind of okay. follows this design, especially Sin and Punishment 2. Wild Guns was a very visually interesting one of these that was pretty well done. Wild Guns Reloaded actually came out a while ago on other platforms, and it is redonkulously cool. And it is a game well worth looking at for two reasons. One, it's a genre of game that's a lot of fun and it's kind of lost to time, but it's a very well done, not lazy remake, multiplayer support and really pretty graphics, kind of a steampunk cowboy vibe to it. But second, my friend, it's the only game I know of where you play as a wiener dog on a flying saucer.
I'm sorry,
shooting
what?
Cowboys.
What?
Wiener dog on a flying saucer shooting cowboys.
Wild Guns Reloaded, I'm a wiener dog?
Yep, on the Switch.
What?
That's right. Four choosable characters, one of them, wiener dog and a flying saucer.
Well, you just earned yourself a download while Guns were loaded. That's
yeah, it's
how
fun game,
it
though.
So,
yeah, it's a neat game.
Now, let's talk about what's on Wii U. Aqua Moto Racing Utopia. You remember this one. We've done Let's Plays of it.
That's right.
They try to be the new Wave Race. It's you know, you're out there doing the thing. That's on Wii U. And then Cycle of Eternity, Space Anomaly is on the Nintendo 3DS. Meanwhile, new dates for you. To Leave comes to PlayStation 4 on April 24th. Disgaea 1 Complete arrives on PlayStation 4 this fall. Battlezone Gold Edition will launch May 1st on Xbox One. Starship Corporation is launching out of early access on May 3rd. And Last Encounter is coming to PC May 8th, and then PlayStation 4, Switch, Xbox One, quarter three of 2018.
Starship Corporation sounds like the world's worst big box store. Like they got rid of the Target, but we got a Starship Corporation
now. Whatever, it's boring as hell. Deals of the day for you, as I already mentioned. Yeah, PUBG is free for the weekend. It's just the weekend, actually. Then, did you have this VR spring sale?
What? No, I didn't know that.
I thought so. I saw Andrea Renee pop up in the dock today, and I was like, that's an interesting one. She's not on the show.
Wait, why is Andrea in the dock today?
Because she wants to be supporting things and making sure we get everything. She's the busiest lady in the business, but she still makes time for this.
I'm a little worried about something. The other day, I'm sitting at we have the guest desk.
Yeah.
You know, we have the desk. We're the part-timers. We come in, we sit down, we work. So Andrea and I are co-hosting the other day, and I'm already here. Andrea comes in, and I'm endeavoring to be, you know, so I'm like, hey, would you like the desk?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, thanks. I'll go sit at Greg's.
Yeah.
Now, was she being polite or was that a power
move? That's a power move. That's
I think
a power
so, too. Move.
Going back in the founder's room? Jeez. Yeah. Anyways, Andrea chimes in and says, the VR spring sale is happening now on Steam with over 900 titles on sale and savings up to 90% off. Celebrate virtual reality with great deals on Steam through Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. For more, you go to the store.steampower.com/sale/VR spring sale. Thanks, Andrea. Now it's time for reader mail. But first, I want to tell you, it's brought to you by Hims. Do you want some help keeping your hair? So many people do. And that's where Hims or forhims.com comes in. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. It's easier to keep the hair than you have than to replace the hair you've lost. Right, Jared?
Right.
Right now, Nick and Andy are doing this. You go on the site, you send in photos, they give you a consultation, you need to talk to a doctor, they'll let you talk to the doctor, and then they give you Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss, well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. There's no waiting room, no awkward doctor visits. You save hours by going to forhims.com. Right now, my listeners get a free trial month of... Nope, that's not right. Get a trial month of Hims for just $5 right now while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. Just like Nick and Andy did to keep their hair. forhims.com/gamesdaily.
R.I.P. my flowing locks.
Yeah, you did have long hair.
I did. Yeah. I had Fabio hair. I mean, I had some hair.
Jared Petty.
Yes, my friend.
Let's get philosophical.
Oh, I love that.
Zuko's Honor writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can and says, hey guys, first time, long time. I am a manager at a GameStop and as such, see how much pre-owned is part of our business. So my question is this. What is your opinion on pre-owned games? Hence, denying the creators of a game the money, but getting the fan the game at a better deal.
Well, simply put, I think you bought it, it's yours, and you should be able to do with it what you wish afterward. I I understand the issue is not actually that simple, but
of course,
that's where I like to distill it down to. I bought the game. It's my game. I like playing it. I'm done playing it. I'm not going to play it anymore. I want somebody else to be able to play it. I should be able to lend it, trade it, sell it, do what I want with it,
it's
because
property,
it was mine. And that's that. I understand EULAs. I understand licenses. We all understand that these are ways for people with a lot of money, generally speaking, to get even more money. I'm not an advocate of piracy, but I do think that when you've purchased something, you should be able to do what you wish with it. I think that it's a way for people who are being fiscally thrifty to get their hands on more games. I understand that it does create some problems for developers, problems that I sympathize with. I also think that if I were developing video games, and one day I hope, wow.
Fucking Harrier jet going, buzzing us by right now. Kevin's not happy.
It is a dream before I die, Greg, that I'm going to make a game.
Yeah.
And when I make my game, if it's available in a physical format, then I think that people should be able to resell it if they want to.
Sure.
I that's easy for me to say. My livelihood isn't depending on it.
Of course.
But that's where I fall.
All of this comes from different viewpoints on the same position, right? This is we're all dealing with the same problem in quotes or the same issue, mm-hmm. but it's all how you slice it, right? Like I've talked about it a lot. I don't buy used games. When I do buy games, I mean, like, right, I get a lot of games for free. Majority of my games are free. I don't need to buy anything for review or whatnot. But when I do buy a game, I don't buy used. And it's not a giant stance of, no. Well, first off, now it's because I'm digital. So let's even dial it back here. When I'm at IGN, right, and I'm going out to buy stuff at GameSpot or Stop. I'm buying new. And it was always that thing of in the old days of GameStop. It was like, what, you're saving $5. It never seemed like it was worth discs. I had friends who get discs and they had scratches on them. They didn't work or something. The manual's missing.
Right.
I love that. I loved getting a game and cracking the plastic.
Oh yeah, it's a good
smell.
Feel
and everything else. Right, like that's what it was about for me. But on some level, I think I'd like to think it was. I want to make sure my money's going to the people. But that was me as an adult now. Right. Back at GameStop in Columbia, Missouri, back when I did go to Slackers, the mom and grop shop I talk, right? Even if I'm buying new, I definitely traded all manner of things. And that's how I was able to keep my gaming addiction going. And the fact that, all right, cool, it was time to get the next system or time to get the next thing, which meant trade in all the old shit. Let's go. Or I'm just cycling games to get $20 off so I have a little bit more to move on.
And I love what you said about Slackers there, because that's a part of gaming culture that I really loved, and those bomb and pop game stores in particular. And used games were a huge part
of
that. And the few that remain rely largely on used games, because
100%.
There's a lot of retro sales that go on places like that, or a lot of customer loyalty. People will come in and buy stuff there. And so I do think there's room for plenty of fingers to be in the insanely lucrative pie that is especially AAA gaming. I really don't feel bad about buying a used AAA game. I tend to buy new versions of smaller games that whenever possible, actually, because I want to make sure that I'm supporting developers that, you know, are often creating these things on a shoestring budget. I like physical games. I tend to buy new around those, but AAA, I'm less likely to do that. And the more a developer puts in incentives that keep me from fully utilizing a game if I don't buy a new one, the less likely I am to buy the game at all.
Sure. The old days of online passes and this, that, and the
other. Yeah, I just don't want to buy them.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, no, this is obnoxious. But part of that's because I love history. People have called me a historian before, and I think that's unfair. I'm a teacher. I'm not a real historian. Real historians are out there doing primary source work. Those are people like Jeremy Parrish or Frank Cifaldi or Chris Kohler that are actually doing real work. All I do is talk about stuff other people do.
Yeah.
And
a pundit.
But I love it.
Yeah.
I love the stuff. And every digital barrier we put up to protect our profits today is a game that's potentially lost to history tomorrow. And I hate that thought. Oh, I hate it.
Well, I feel like this was such an ongoing discussion in my mid-years at IGN. But then when digital distribution came along and shook everything up, it really faded away to the fact that what I love about digital games is the immediacy. I love the idea that the money's getting where it needs to go. And grant, you know, I mean, PlayStation's getting a cut. Publishers are getting a cut, obviously. But there's less of a way to screw that up. And I love the fact that Steam does it better than anybody. But PSN and Xbox Now as well. Hey, we're doing these crazy sales. You know what I mean? Jump on board. Here's this game you've heard about that you can get at a price. I feel like the market regulated itself in that way where, sure, used games are still an issue, and I'm sure that's happening. You know, and David Cage threw around when Heavy Rain came out, right? The fact that, I'm going to get it wrong, but you can kind of funny. You're wrong if you want. I think it was what, that they sold 5 million units of Heavy Rain, but there were 7 million people with trophies on the PSN about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that sucks. That's like 2 million that doesn't get to get put into a headline, doesn't get put into, hey, this is how the reach of this game truly was. But again, I think that now it's self-regulated in a way where I think people go out, are the hardest of the hardcore, which is you watching this show, right? Like God of War comes out tomorrow. People are buying it at midnight, whether they've preloaded it, whether they're getting it from Amazon, whether they're waiting for their Stonemason edition. Like that, those copies are sold and good. Do we have to worry that much anymore that in a month at GameStop, a 14-year-old who's making minimum wage at this job he shouldn't even be working at yet is coming in and buying it used? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think there's another point to what you said there, too, that we should think about, and that's that digital distribution can be a double-edged sword. And what I mean by that is, especially for smaller game developers, it opened doors to getting your game out there in ways that were never possible before. XBLA changed the world. Steam changed the world.
Yeah.
People that would not have been able to get their games on shelves before were able to get them directly in front of consumers. And that was amazing.
Your weird shit. Go ahead.
Yeah, iOS same way.
iOS, yeah.
But those sales you were talking about, particularly for smaller developers, have likewise created a system where games have been devalued.
Sure.
Devalued to the point where at this juncture, it's hard for a lot of people to make a living making them. And that's become a real problem. It becomes increasingly difficult to make a mobile game that's going to make money that's not predatory.
Sure. Oh, and the reason, right? It was, as Colin always said, it was a race to the bottom.
Exactly.
People expect their mobile games free.
Yeah.
So when Mario comes out and whatever Mario was, $10, $15, whatever it was, people were like, what the fuck? No.
And that resonated into Steam eventually out of iOS. Sure. Not that Steam was trying to devalue games, but when those, you know, people waiting for the sales. Well, I love the sales too. And I wait for the sales sometimes, but guess what? When we spend less money for something on Steam, well, then that means there's less money to go around for the dev and Steam and the rest, and that's still so there's that end too.
But the problem I have with that, and that argument is 100% just and valid, don't get me wrong. The argument then becomes, well, sure, but nobody wanted that game. Like, it's free market economy, right? Of like, well, nobody wanted the game at $20. They will take a chance on it at $5 or $4.
The question is, did they not want the game at $20, or did they know that if they waited 3 months, it would be $10?
Sure.
And that's the question around Steam sales. And also, again, around that free market. The problem is that if you follow that for too long, you have a lot of good, you know, think about how many copies. I'm so glad Cuphead succeeded.
Yeah.
But good Lord, how many copies they had to sell for that game to be profitable?
Yeah, to get their house out of mortgage. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's nuts. People shouldn't have to do that to make good video games.
Sure.
It should not be an insane life risk to create art. And I'm not, when I say should, that's a dangerous word. But I
yeah,
do
they're
think
not entitled,
that,
right? You have an idea for a game, you're not entitled to get it.
Now I'm hearing it, it's like, is a man not entitled? But at the same time, we're in a world where Cuphead kind of needs to exist.
Sure.
And there's the other end of it. But there's
so many games that I'm not trying to be a dick, but do they need to exist? I'm not naming names here, right? There's so many and this is the pro and the con of it is that anybody can be a game developer. Anybody can go do this, but do you need to mortgage your house and do stuff? If you and I want to toss out a quick promo for the Gamescast. So Gamescast, of course, goes live tomorrow, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and then it'll go live on Monday. The deal is different, right, this week because there's an embargo that lifts on Monday, so we can't do it live, and we can't put that discussion part into the episode that'll be out live on Friday. All that doesn't really matter. If you get the Patreon episode or you get the YouTube episode, in it is an interview I did yesterday with the developer of Where the Water Tastes Like Wine. Because if you remember, we had a story on here about how he's like, I don't think a game like this can exist anymore. And I brought him in to talk about it. And this is literally the conversation. But from a developer standpoint of him saying stuff like, they're like, yeah, he's like, and he brings up Cuphead and how they mortgage his house. And he's like, don't do that. Like, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, we have to be honest about what this is. And he wrote, you know, this brutally honest, you know, post on Medium about, hey, the game didn't sell well, and here's what we did wrong, and here's where, you know, blah, 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 and it gets to the point of, you know, I don't know if a game like this could exist, it can't exist anymore. But I'm talking to him about it, he's talking about the fact, this is more of a canary in the coal mine I want for other indie devs. Yeah. That other indie devs and people getting into it. Because he's like, indie devs know. People though who are launching their dreams and quitting their job and making their own studio and doing, you have to know how tough it is to make this. There are the success stories, but it's not like it used to be.
Well, we don't write stories most of the time about failure. I mean, we don't like failure. I, particularly as Americans, we tend to stigmatize failure. Even people don't like the idea that you can do everything right, make something wonderful, and absolutely fail.
Yeah, that you won't find a market, and this is not going to be for people. And, yeah.
And we don't write news stories about that. We write news stories about Cuphead selling a gajillion copies. And we don't write stories about the dozens of developers who created fantastic video games that you will probably never hear of or play.
Yeah, yeah.
And who lost everything doing that.
Yeah.
That said, on the consumer end, with this final part of this question, sometimes you just ain't got no money and you want to buy a used game. And that's okay.
Yeah. Jared, I got two God of War questions for you. No spoilers, everybody. Don't panic.
All right.
I'm going to start with Shofei. 27, who writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hi, beautiful kind of funny people.
Hey, what's up?
I have a God of War question for you. Do you think that the step up from God of War 3, parentheses, which I intensely disliked, this is him, not me, to God of War PS4 is better or worse than the step up from Resident Evil 3 to Resident Evil 4? I can see a lot of similarities between the two. Thanks so much and have an awesome day. You have to answer this on your own, because I didn't play RE3.
RE3 versus RE4 is, that's kind of like comparing a tricycle to a Tesla. Okay. So it's a pretty big gulf right there, because RE4 was a genre change. The entire third-person action-adventure genre we have today owes its legacy to Resident Evil 4. That game changed video gaming forever. It's one of those milestone games. God of War 3 to God of War 4, they are vastly, God of War 1 through 3 to God of War 4
sure.
are just vastly different experiences.
100%.
I don't have an analog. I am not going to give you the answer you want here and say more or less, but I am going to say that everybody that has the ability should experience God of War 4 because, in my opinion, it's another milestone game.
100%. I 100% agree with you on that. Clint writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, do you think God of War will get any DLC? I'm a frugal gamer and resell a lot of games after I beat them, but I wouldn't want to get rid of God of War if there is more content coming down the road. Also, I didn't see this. Deal of the day. Greg, you mentioned you're looking for a way to get HBO after cutting the cord, and Hulu currently has a deal to add HBO to your plan for just $5 a month for the next 6 months, $10 off the regular price. I don't want no fucking Hulu.
You don't want it?
I don't want Hulu.
Why don't you want it?
I don't watch TV, period. I just watch HBO. I'll get HBO now. God of War DLC. I personally would love that. I'm inclined to say no. The game is so huge. Like I tweeted last night that I beat it last week and I'm playing it now for the platinum, and I'm turning corners and doing things where I'm like, how the fuck is this game this good?
One of the weirdest headlines I ever did at IGN was a thing about why Fallout 4 should be the last Fallout. And I took a lot of flack for that because it's a really weird, but it's just like, you know what? Go out on top. I loved Fallout 4. And I was like,
platinum, it was great.
Yeah. Just not because I didn't like it, but because I did. I was just like, move on, make something else wonderful, because you've really nailed this time around.
Yeah.
I don't want God of War DLC.
Yeah.
Not because it wouldn't be amazing. I'm sure that team would make something great, but I kind of want this to stand on its own.
It's good enough to do so. It is such a masterpiece, and to continue to play it, and there's so much to do, and there's so much to explore, and like, I'm compelled to play. Like, I'm obviously trying to platinum it, but that's just a bonus to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I would continue to play this game even if I hadn't, if there were no more platinums. I would go, or no, you know, no trophies to get. Like, the stuff they are doing, the new areas I am finding, the new things I am doing. What a fucking game. Jared, it's time to squad up.
This
is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in video games. Today, Tyler needs help in Fortnite. He needs Epic friends. So I guess his Epic ID is TJoeB123. I primarily play Fortnite on PS4, but not many of my PSN friends play the game. Many challenges lie before me, and I can use some help and just buddies to play with from the best friends at Kinda Funny. Also, Sony, please stop isolating PS4 from crossplay with Xbox One. So yeah, he says he needs helping Fortnite, parentheses, Epic Friends, and says TJOB123. I have no idea if he means he needs that's his PSN or not, but good luck to you, Tyler. Be more fucking clear when you write into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Jared, you're here, so it's time for you to get salty.
Oh, I'm ready. This you're going to pass the salt?
This is where I put 1 minute on the clock, and you get to be mad about something because everybody says you're too nice and happy.
Roar!
All right, so you just go.
All right, so we make videos here at Kinda Funny, and we're happy to do it. I make videos for a living over on Hop, Live, and Jump. But as much as I love videos, friends, we need to support the written word. Why? Because it's been good to us. Because it's a medium that allows us to think about things a different way. It literally requires our brains to address the information in a way that's maybe, shall we say, a bit more cerebral. And it's very, very hard to make money right now through the written word, particularly in video games. But there are people out there trying to do it. Support smaller sites that are trying to make that happens. Support places like US Gamer or Twinfinite that rely heavily on thoughtful written articles or quick kind of more niche news. Support Kotaku, who's out there with long form pieces that really have just some interesting angles to them. They can't keep writing them if you don't read them. We are responsible for the success or failure of the written word, and we're not doing a good enough job.
Jared Petty is salty, everyone. Support the written word. That's a good one. Where'd that come from? What inspires you for that today?
I love reading good news, and the more I make videos for a living, mm-hmm. the more I think about how the form is different than writing
for
a living.
Oh, sure, for sure.
And the more aware I become of some of those nuances and how each has strengths and weaknesses and that they should exist side by side, my conviction is growing that they serve the community best side by side as opposed to completely like one existing and sure. replacing the other. I think that the written word challenges us. It has time machine-like qualities that videos don't have.
Yeah,
you can go back to the written word and literally be transported into the mind of the person who wrote it a few years ago, for example.
Interesting.
It's powerful, and I become more aware of that as I make more and more video for a living.
Okay. Time to check in on your wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, if you watch the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we have a job for you. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up while we record the show live so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. I am going in here. We did well today. I'll let you know.
Ooh.
I don't know why Ignacio Rojas is writing it with something we've said before. Neil deGrasse Tyson writes in and says PUBG is free on mobile. Okay, I don't think we got that wrong. We're talking about PUBG on Xbox, obviously, and PC. Yeah. But good to know. I'm going to leave it in there. Ants in My Pants says, you missed the release of ACA Neo Geo Samurai Showdown 4 on Xbox One today.
Sammy Show 4!
My apologies.
All right.
And then Ignacio Rojas again pops in to clarify that Super Mario Run was $10 when it launched.
It was $10. Yep. That's true.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Then watch us live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and listen on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify. Apparently, Tim was telling me, too. He asked everybody, where are we missing from?
Yeah.
Somebody found out iHeartRadio.
That's right.
We're working on that now for you, too. Out here working exciting. Hard for you. If you appreciate the work, go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a couple bucks.
Keep the mics on. I feel like Tim dodged a bullet there on that. Because I figured we were getting like 600 Bulgarian like download services.
Weird Zune things.
Yeah, it's all Zune, man.
Wow. Of course, support. My co-host today, Jared Petty. Jared, where can they find you?
They can find me at youtube.com/hopblipandajump, or if you want to support directly, just hopblipjump.com. Hope you will. And go watch the video because the new one's really good.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Renee, the busiest lady in the business, will join me tomorrow. But until then, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.